Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Good morning. Today I want to talk about a way we can experience God. Many of you are familiar with the book Experiencing God by Blackaby, and he has a phrase within his book, and I made a tweak to it to make it applicable to all of us, that God pursues a continuous love relationship with each one of us that is real and personal. We know in order to build a relationship with someone, you really got to communicate. You got to have conversations. You can't get to know a person if you don't have take time out to talk with those individuals. And I want to talk about what it means for us to have a relationship with God through prayer. In John 1, we're going to see an amazing example of what was important to God. And really what was important to those early disciples. In John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." Now, that's talking about Jesus. Jesus was with God in the beginning, ruling throughout all of the universe with God. And God sent Jesus on this mission to redeem us. That's what Easter was about. Last week, giving us an opportunity to spend eternity with him. Well, it goes on to say here in verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So the Word of God, which is Jesus, became flesh and came down and made his dwelling among men. So in the book of John, we see Jesus' interaction with those early disciples. Now, he's on a mission from God. And I don't know about you, but I'm thinking about, man, if I got a mission, I got to stay focused. I got to accomplish the goal. So here Jesus is, and he meets those initial disciples, those men who wanted to follow him. John had been preaching about Jesus. So you can read through the rest of chapter 1. And then John says that it was clear Jesus was set aside because God told him. A voice spoke. So one day John is out with his disciples. And it says in verse 29, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel.' Then John gave the testimony, 'I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him.' The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi, where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went and saw where he was staying and spent their day with him. It was about the 10th hour." There's a lot going on here. So John is out with his disciples doing the work that God had told him to do. John says, "Look, there is Jesus, the Lamb of God. That's the one I've been preaching about." So John's disciples leave him and they start following Jesus. So here Jesus is on a mission from God. Now think about it. He could have easily walked on water at that period. He could have easily said, "Guys, come on," and raise someone from the dead. But what was important to Jesus was simply, "Come and you will see." And it says he spent the day with them. The creator of the universe, God in the flesh, had time to sit down and have conversations with this creation. That ought to show you how important we are to God. And that's what prayer is about. You know, prayer is the opportunity for us to get to know God ourselves. Prayer is the opportunity for us to go deeper in our relationship with God. Prayer is something we do as individuals. It's great that our family prays. It's great that our spouse prays. It's great that the church prays. But you know that God wants us as individuals to have a conversation with them? I don't know about you, but that makes me feel very encouraged. That I can get to know God. I can experience God through prayer. You know, right now, I'm lecturing at Morehouse, and we're on the segment of world religions. And we've looked at Hinduism. We've talked about Buddhism. And then we started talking about Judaism and the patriarchs. And, of course, you have to talk about Noah. Then we got to Abraham and how God called this one man out of polytheism to have a relationship with him. And how this man responded to the voice of God and was able to find purpose and a meaning in this world. And we started talking about Abraham, and the guys were intrigued, and they were really intrigued about Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. And they were like, Abraham had baby mama drama. Yeah, there's nothing new under the sun. But then we went back and talked about purpose. And they were like, you know, I don't know which God to serve. I don't know which God to believe in. And a number of them in America 2021 are still trying to figure out what it means to have a relationship with God. And, you know, as a disciple I've learned throughout the years, sometimes the best way to help a person is to imitate what Jesus did right here in John 1. Come and you will see. I told the guys, when you get on campus, come by my office and we can talk. See, it's obvious that there may be somebody looking for something and they haven't quite seen it where they are, or they haven't quite experienced what they're desiring to find. But for those of us who are Christians, for those of us who have a vibrant relationship with God, we should be able to tell others, come and see how God has manifested himself in my life, how God is working in my life. And you know, that can be a powerful testimony. See, I remember being a junior at Florida State University and hearing all of these different lectures in religion courses, literature courses, history courses, and my faith being challenged. I had a crisis of faith. I was at a crossroads, and I had to try to figure out, what was this Christianity thing all about? And let me tell you, that's not a bad thing. Because when we get to that crossroads in our faith, where it's not about what our family thinks or our friends think, but it's really about us wrestling out with God, then we're more positioned to live a life that is productive for God. And you know, this year makes 36 years of walking in the Lord. Yeah, this week makes 36 years of walking in the Lord. I remember studying the Bible and simply saying, I want to get to know this God of the universe better. I want to get to know this God more. And I started reading the Bible. And the more I read the Bible, I started having conversations with God about his word. And eventually the word of God manifests itself in my life in a way that I started seeing, this is the purpose I have. This is why God created me. Now, let me be honest with you. I'm not special. I'm unique, just as you are unique. In fact, every single human being on this planet is unique because there's only one of us. God made us just one of us. But let me tell you this. God made us for a purpose, and we get an opportunity to pray and to figure out how we, for those of us who want to be in partnership with God, what is our role in helping God to save humanity? I'm not sure where you are in your walk with God, but you know, the scripture says to set your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. You know, these days it's so easy to follow trends. It's so easy to get sidetracked by personalities. It's so easy to get caught up in all of the mumble jumble of what's going on in social media. But my question is, how are we as Christians going to remain faithful and fruitful for the remainder of our lives? That's my prayer. My prayer, thank you, God. You have blessed my life tremendously. Oh, my goodness. I'm so grateful God has blessed me with an incredible purpose, with an amazing wife who walks side by side with me, with amazing children whom I love dearly, with family, with friends, with partners in the gospel, with a dynamic ministry. Over and over and over, Sean and I have been a part of dynamic ministries. But you know what's really, really important? My walk with God. Just like your walk with God. See, the goal is for us to remain faithful and fruitful. Why is that important? Because that's what Jesus did. Let's define faithful. In John chapter 4, verse 34 through 35, this is a story about Jesus and the woman at the well. Jesus is there in Samaria. He's preaching the gospel. He encounters a woman who had a questionable background, but Jesus ministered to her, and the disciples were out preparing, finding lunch. They show back up. They got McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, whatever was equivalent at that time in Jerusalem. And then it says in verse 34, his disciples said to each other, because someone had brought him food. So Jesus is working, preaching the gospel. The guys are focused on getting something to eat. Jesus said, I have food you know nothing about. They're like in verse 33, because someone else had brought him food. And what did Jesus say? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So Jesus said, my goal, my food, what keeps me going day after day after day, month, year, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's what it means to be faithful. My brothers and sisters, how are we doing with being faithful? Many, many, many people have said, Jesus is Lord. I'm in. I'm ready. I'm sold out. I'm living for God. Where are they today? But more importantly, who is Jesus to you? In my walk with God, there have been numerous times I had to go back and count the cost. What does that mean? I had to go back and say, why am I doing what I'm doing? Because right now, it's not popular. Right now, it doesn't feel good. Right now, I don't feel inspired. Why do I do what I do? Because as Jesus said, my food, what drives me, what sustains me, what moves me, what wakes me up and keeps me going throughout the day is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. There's some of you, you've been in the battle a long time. You have been in the battle longer than me. Question is, are we going to finish strong to the glory of God? That's what it means to be faithful. And not only being faithful, I want to take it out of the realm of just, I'm a member of this particular congregation and I've been here for decades and I take communion, I give my contribution and I serve. I want to take it beyond that. I want to take it to the place of I am completing what God created me to accomplish. See, that's faithful. And then as we're being faithful, we got to be fruitful. Now, I know some of us bristle when we hear that word, being fruitful. And some of us, we have images of just being evangelistic or just bringing people to church. And it's nothing wrong with that. I love being evangelistic. I love bringing people to church. But that is immature thinking about John chapter 15. A mature Christian looks at John chapter 15, where Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So if I am going to be fruitful in my relationship with God, that means I got to be connected to Jesus. How do I stay connected to Jesus? I got to stay in prayer. I got to stay in communion, in communication with Jesus. And one of the promises and one of the indicators of me being connected with Jesus, it says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. He prunes. Do some research on pruning. If you've seen a plant that has been pruned, it doesn't look pretty. It looks like it's almost been cut apart. It looks devastated. It looks like, throw that out. It don't look good right now. But see, God says sometimes we have to go through that time of not looking good, of not feeling good, so we can be more productive for him. Now he says, you'll be saved. You say, you're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. You got to remain connected. The nourishment, the sap that runs through the vine to the branches is that Holy Spirit that runs from God into us. We got to stay connected to God. In verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away, withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You know, right now, with the challenges we're having in America, you know what the biggest problem is? More of us got to be disciples. More of us have got to walk like Jesus. And I want to encourage my brothers and sisters who made that confession, you got to let your light shine. Because that's why we're here. It says right here, it is to the Father's glory. It has nothing to do with a man. It has nothing to do with a church. It is to the Father's glory that we are living out and walking like Jesus, showing the world that we are his disciples. You know, as a young Christian, you read this, and it says right here, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. Ooh, ooh, boy. Remember those young Christian days? Prayed about a parking space. Boom, one magically appeared. Prayed about finding a great relationship. There she was in church. There he was. And you're like, wow, I got this great relationship. Now you're dating. Then you pray about having this ideal marriage. And you get married and people are there and they're singing, they're celebration. And then these beautiful children come along and you're taking all these Christmas pictures and family vacations and you are just having a blast. And then you're getting promoted at the job. You're like, look at my life. I have an amazing life. And that is the life of a disciple. But then pruning happens. And sometimes we wonder, did I misunderstand that scripture? Because it says, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. You know, we asked and we pray, God, heal that person. And he still died. And we prayed, God, save my marriage. And he still left. And we pray, God, these children, I've taken them to Sunday school. We had devotionals. And they seem like they don't want to be a Christian. Then at the job, it's become routine. Let me encourage those who've been in the fight. You got your battle scars. Let me encourage you with something. If the book, the letter of 1 John, going into the end of your Bible, 1 John, John was an older man. John had lived John has seen Jesus crucified. He has seen Peter crucified. John has seen James beheaded. John had probably encountered Paul, and he was beheaded. He was gone. John has seen the church grow. He has seen the church explode. He's seen persecution. And here he is as an older man, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. John said, I want you to know you got eternal life. Never doubt your salvation. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Notice how John said, according to his will. As we mature in the faith, we know we pray, but then we're at peace with the outcome because it is according to his will. That God has orchestrated the entire universe, that he is controlling and setting up the lives of billions of people, that God himself has a plan. And now we align our plans to God's will versus trying to bend God's to our will. You know, so many times we try to twist God's arm. God bless what I want you to do versus God. I'm going to pour out my heart. I'm going to pour out and let you know what I want, but I'm at peace. I'm really at peace with the outcome. That's what it means to be faithful and to be fruitful. That's what prayer does. Let me tell you. This decision we make, and you may be young in the faith. You say, I'm just starting. I want you to remember Jesus is Lord. The confession that you made. For those who've been around for a while, I want you to go back to Jesus is Lord. And that's why, as Christians, we take communion every Sunday. We take time out, not just on Easter, but every Sunday we take time out to remember the death, the burial, but the resurrection of Jesus. And we take, you know, we're getting ready now in this country, and America is opening back up, and people are getting out and going about. And I pray as Christians, our hearts will open back up. We've had time, and we needed the time to rest. We needed the time to reflect. We needed the time to just recalibrate and figure out our lives. God has given us that time. Now, as the world opens back up and people are out and about, let's open our hearts back up and let's go out and walk like Jesus. See, that pledge we made in the waters of baptism. And, you know, after we came out the waters of baptism, people were standing there singing, I have decided to follow Jesus. Y'all remember that? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Is that still what we're singing in our hearts on the days when we're tired, we're discouraged? We're unhappy. Are we still singing, I have decided to follow Jesus? Wherever you are in your walk with God, let's renew our commitment today. Let's go to God in prayer. God, we come before you and we thank you so much, God, for your son's appearance on this planet, dear God, and how the very first miracle he chose to do, God, was to just have time with us, to have time with people, to get to know people, for people to get to know him, God. And I pray that we can understand how valuable we are in your eyes. I pray, dear God, for the bread that represents the body that was broken, God, the fruit of the vine that represents the blood that was shed. And God, I pray as men and women striving to know you, God, that we will remain faithful and fruitful for all of our days. We ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.